right now there are debates, there are interviews, there are candidates for president that are vying for that position. Both Republican, Democrat, they're going through these large debates. But the question is, and the presentation today is surrounding, should we vote? And I'm not talking about the PTA or other meetings, but specifically I'm asking, should we vote for prospective government leaders? What does the Bible say? And this is where we need to go for an answer. It's interesting to see the debating going on and some of these candidates and the interviews that are being given. And I'm sure there's some things that they're saying that we would like to see in the government, you know, that's over us. I mean, we are under this country's government. We are to obey the laws of the land. We are to stop at the stop signs and yield and do these things that are correct. But not one of these candidates has said, you know, I hope Yahweh chooses me to be in the president's seat. Essentially, they should be asking that or commenting about that because of what Scripture says. Daniel 2 and verse 21. Scripture says, it is He who changes the times and seasons. He removes kings and establishes kings. He gives wisdom to the wise men and knowledge to men of understanding. Kings, prime ministers, and the like. Who we see as having wisdom and understanding are said to be given that wisdom and understanding by Yahweh Himself. Do kings always do things that are right? No. Do prime ministers get into trouble? Yes. But their ability to lead with wisdom and understanding is something Yahweh provides, just as He provides us with the ability to work. But He puts people in position and puts kings in their position. Deuteronomy 8:18. But you shall remember Yahweh your Elohim, for it is He who has given you power to make wealth, that He may confirm His covenant, which He swore to your fathers, as is to this day. Yahweh has not just given us the ability to work, but others as well. Though it is true that there are some with disabilities that can hinder some from doing the kind of work that they would like to do. And of course, not everyone has abilities to lead as some do in government. In all of this, we must realize that Yahweh allows certain leaders to come to power. It's His will. Whether they're good or bad, He's working out something that I think we have a pretty good grasp upon. But even knowing that, it will bring hardship for the people. Well, and of course, not everyone has the abilities to lead as some do in the government. We realize that Yahweh puts certain ones in position, but even if they are bad, and that's hard to understand sometimes. I mean, even knowing that it will bring hardship on people, even Yahweh's people, but sometimes it's the people that are the problem. In fact, many times. 1 Samuel 8 and verse 5. And they, that is the elders of Israel, who were overseeing the people, said to Samuel, behold, you have grown old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint a king for us to judge us like all the nations. But the thing was displeasing in the sight of Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed to Yahweh. Yahweh said to Samuel, listen to the voice of the people in regard to all that they have said to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them. Interesting. They were not choosing Yahweh, and they should have been, but they wanted a king like the rest of the nations. The people got their way. They got the changes that they want, but was it really worth it? They were told beforehand what their new king would end up doing. Continuing in verse 11, he said, this will be the procedure of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and place them for himself in his chariots and among his horsemen, and they will run before his chariots. He will appoint for himself commanders of thousands and of fifties, and some to do his plowing, to reap his harvest, and to make weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. He will also take your daughters for perfumers and cooks and bakers. Continuing on in verse 14, he will take the best of your field, your vineyards, your olive groves, and give them to his servants. He will take a tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and give to his officers and to his servants. He will also take your male servants, your female servants, your best young men, your donkeys, and use them for his work. He will take a tenth of your flocks, and you yourselves will become his servants. Then you will cry out in that day because of your king whom you have chosen for yourselves. But Yahweh will not answer you in that day. Why? To teach the people a lesson, no doubt. It wasn't Yahweh's initial will to put Saul in position. I think that position was held for King David ultimately. But the people were impatient, and they wanted a king like right now. And they wanted to be like the rest of the nations. And I think many times we want to be, I want to be normal. I want to be like everyone else. I don't want to be kind of the odd one out, the oddball out. I was talking to a brother last night, and I asked him, how's it going at work? Because he's with another brother at this job. And someone had told him, oh, yeah, I know that guy that you know. Yeah, he's kind of an odd fellow because he always opens up his Bible and studies it. And that's just too weird. But that's, we're a peculiar people in that sense. But Yahweh says we're a special people. We're set apart for a very special purpose. And we really should be seeking his kingdom and his righteousness. And I think we are. Can we do better? I suppose we can always do better. But the king or president we have in this country on this, the Roman calendar of 2011, was demanded by the people by process of fair election. It's a democratic, system. But the majority rule was in effect, and he was placed in office by the people. But ultimately, Yahweh allowed it. Now we see bumper stickers that say, I'll keep my job, my house, and my car, and you can keep the change. People are not very happy with some of the things that have occurred. And I'm not up here to be saying bad things about the president or anything like that. And I'm not advocating that we go out and picket at the White House and, we want change from change, We don't want to do that. We don't openly rebuke the president or other leaders, but we do realize that not all is well in this country, nor in the rest of the world. But it's all in Yahweh's hands, and he is working out his plan. Our job is to focus on him and get in step with his ways, because he has the power and authority to exalt and debase individuals and entire nations. Psalm 75, verse 7. Elohim is the judge. He puts down one and exalts another. Whomever Yahweh puts in place, we are to be subject or in subjection to them within biblical guidelines. So, what does the Bible say about that? Romans 13 and starting in verse 1. Every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities. This isn't my words. This is from Scripture. For there is no authority except from Yahweh, and those which exist are established by Yahweh. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of Yahweh, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do you do what is good, and you'll have praise from the same, for it is a minister of Elohim to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing, for it is a minister of Elohim, an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. Is it wrong to steal from your neighbor? Is it wrong to run stoplights? Is it wrong to do contrary to the established rules and regulations that we find? No. I mean, what was the question? Yeah, is it wrong to do those things? Yes, it is wrong to do those things. So we have to consider what Scripture is saying here. It's saying what we should be doing, and we should be a lawful people. Continuing on, Romans 13, 5 through 7. Therefore, it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes for rulers, or we. I put we in there, and I'll tell you why. But let me repass those inserts. For because of this, you also pay taxes for rulers, our servants of Yahweh, devoting themselves to this very thing. Render to all what is due them, tax to whom tax is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Now, I'm not trying to add scripture here, but the words underlined were added to try to give clarity, but they may not be as accurate as they could be. They were added. And so the rulers, could that be we? It would read something like this then. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for we are servants of Yahweh, devoting ourselves to this very thing. I mean, to do the right thing. I think it's actually better read this way, because not all leaders are servants of Yahweh, in the sense that they're trying to do His will. Whether they know it or not, they were put into a position that they have, whether they recognize Him or not. So I'm just wondering, I present this because I looked in an interlinear, and those words, rulers and themselves, are not there. It could say we and ourselves there, because we are servants of Yahweh, and we are devoting ourselves to this very thing, to be obedient, to be submissive, to not do evil, but to do what's right, both according to Scripture and according to the law of the land. But every single person is to be subject to the government leaders. Sometimes we're accused of being too involved with the government. Our 501c3 status, for example, which is given automatically as a help to religious organizations. I mean, it is a help to not have to pay taxes on you know, sales taxes on things that we need to provide for the work. That's a great benefit, and it helps us to be more responsible with the tithes and offerings that come in, essentially helping us to be good stewards. Now, there has not been one time that I'm aware of in which we've been told, you can't teach this or that, or you can't teach against that, or for this, or we've not been told how to operate or function here. So, and certainly not what to teach. So we're doing, I think, a good work, and we're being given help, just as agencies are given subsidies, like the Red Cross or other agencies. They're helped by the government so that they can function a little bit better than they would without the help of the government. It doesn't mean that we're under the thumb of the government. And if the government ever says, well, you got to do this, and that's contrary to Scripture, what are we going to do? Well, let's look at some examples. I suppose, if we're told that we cannot teach scriptural truth, if we're ever told that, then we'll be given a choice, similar to that which Peter and the other apostles were given when approached by the religious leaders who were a form of government in Jerusalem. Acts 5 and verse 28 and 29. When they had brought them, they stood them before the council. The high priest questioned them, saying, "We gave you strict orders not to continue teaching in this name, and yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey Elohim rather than men." And that's true. When push came to shove, they chose correctly. They chose to honor the king. And we are told by the apostle Peter in 1 Peter 2:17, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear Yahweh, honor the king. It's interesting he didn't say the religious governing body at his time, because there was some tension there. But he does include both Yahweh and the king, showing he is speaking of a heavenly king and an earthly king. Certain things we should not do, such as worshiping falsely. There are other examples besides what the apostles did. Daniel, for example, submitted to Yahweh rather than man, just as they did. Daniel 6, 7 through 10. All the commissioners of the kingdom, the prefects, the satraps, the high officials, governors, have consulted together that the king should establish a statute and enforce an injunction that anyone who makes a petition to any god or man beside you, O Elohim, or O king, for 30 days shall be cast into the lion's den. Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it may not be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which may not be revoked. Therefore, King Darius signed the document, that is, the injunction. Now, when Daniel knew that the document was signed, he protested. He got a bunch of people together to vote against, to get this king out. No. He entered his house. Now, in his roof chamber, he had windows open towards Jerusalem. And he continued kneeling on his knees three times a day, praying and giving thanks before his Elohim, as he had been doing previously. He simply did what was right in Yahweh's sight. He didn't act all crazy and try to do, you know, subvert the what the king was wanting. He wouldn't do what was contrary to Yahweh. There's also Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego who refused to worship an idol Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and they were protected from the fire, even though they were thrown into it because of their obedience to Yahweh. They also did not go out and gather people to protest or call for the king's resignation. They simply told the king that they would obey Yahweh rather than commit false worship, essentially. In Scripture, we also see that, we also find that Yahshua did not vote for government leaders. The question is, why? Shouldn't we have the same understanding that he has? John 18:36. Yahshua answers, speaking of Pilate, the governor there, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting, so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm." Yahshua's kingdom is not of this world. And guess what? Neither is ours. Okay? We're in Messiah. We're striving to do what his Father wants. And his Father wants us to be seeking that kingdom and seeking his righteousness in our lives. And so ultimately, we need to be paying attention and focusing on that rather than on what's happening in the political realm or scene today and the government that we're in. Now, when he was talking to this Roman governor, a high-ranking government leader, Yahshua was respectful, but he spoke the truth. And I think we may be given that opportunity too. You read Matthew 24, and it talks about what's going to happen at the end of the age. And it looks like we're getting pretty close because of the world scene and how it looks. There are uprisings all over the place. And it's unlike anything we've seen, at least in my lifetime. It's nothing I've seen in my lifetime. And you know, the governments are talking about a one-world government. The financial scene is just in chaos. They're talking about this country going the way of Italy and Greece if we don't get our act together, and it doesn't look like we're getting our act together. And interesting that Yahweh would allow a president to come in and make decisions. Now, he doesn't have to listen to his advisors. He has the power and the authority to do his own thing. And I think in many respects he's been doing that, and it's been not good for this country. And it seems to be going the way of the other countries' financial systems. But a lot of that is because of greed, because of other things that have been in play, which Yahweh warns us about. We're warned about having love for money and these type of things. And that's what this world is all about. They're trying to make a buck, an easy buck, a fast buck. The more profit, the better. The more the CEO makes, the better. And it is just destroying the country, because it's really not fair to those that are working hard trying to make a living. But enough of that. If we were ever brought before the government leaders, would we be prepared to speak? We need to pray that we will be able to and tell them the truth, because there's some things that they need to hear, because they haven't been listening thus far to Yahweh's word. The kingdom Yahshua spoke of is coming. It is what we are also to be looking forward to. And Yahshua's example prayer, we find this. Matthew 6:9-10. Pray then in this way: Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come. This is one of the things that we're to desire, because we realize, I think, even without seeing the instruction here, that we need help. We need to be governed properly. We need a good system in place. And I think a lot of people see that and they want to vote for a new leader. But they're losing sight of who is the best leader? Yahweh. And he sent his son as an example. And he tells us to seek that kingdom. Hebrews 11:13-16. All these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, Yahweh is not ashamed to be called their Elohim, for he has prepared a city for them. Even anciently, it was understood that there was a kingdom that was coming. It is still, it's on its way. It's a future kingdom. It's all being worked out in Yahweh's timeline. But it's a kingdom where Yahweh's ways will rule the day. And just as Yahshua prayed, your will be done on earth as it is done in heaven, we are to be living the way, even now. When will Yahweh's kingdom be established? I don't know. But we are to live. We are to live as if it was going to be here tomorrow. Paul says that our citizenship is in heaven, Philippians 3:20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for a Savior, the Master Yahshua. Those in Messiah will be changed at his return into spiritual beings. And be as he is, immortal. Sitting with him on his throne, teaching and helping to serve the physical people brought into the millennial kingdom rule. a remnant of Israel. We are ambassadors for we are ambassadors for Messiah who is in heaven, seated at the right hand. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Messiah, as though Yahweh were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Messiah, be reconciled to Yahweh. If we consider ourselves as ambassadors for the coming king, should we be voting for kings on this earth now? I don't think so. Should we be politically involved trying to change government right now? I don't think so. Do we have the time to be politically involved if we are spending time doing what we've been told to do? That is, proclaiming the good news to the world of the Messiah and the coming kingdom. Let's read the last verse again, but with another clearer translation. 2 Corinthians 5:20 in the New Living Translation says, "So we are Messiah's ambassadors. Yahweh is making his appeal through us. We speak for Messiah when we plead, 'Come back to Yahweh.'" We are calling the people to repent. It was the message that Yahshua started out his ministry with. It's what John the Baptist had proclaimed before the Messiah showed up. The Messiah told his disciples, "Go and teach repentance, for the kingdom of Yahweh is at hand." It is our job to teach of salvation through Yahshua and of his coming rulership in the kingdom of Yahweh. We need to prepare for that government rule by submitting to it, its authority, and being ambassadors for it, not only in word, but by the way we live. His, Yahshua's reign, will have no end. Isaiah 9:6-7. "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty El, Father of Eternity, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of Yahweh of hosts will accomplish this." Who is it going to accomplish this? Is it going to be us? I'm reminded of Zechariah 4:6. "Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says Yahweh of hosts." If you think about voting in the upcoming presidential race, think again what our priorities are supposed to be. Spend time rather making sure Yahweh's word and Messiah is shared with others, that true repentance, salvation, and righteousness is preached in and through the name of Yahshua, that the coming kingdom of Yahweh is proclaimed, and that people are to seek that kingdom right now, and not another, which will be passing away.